backpedaling on beef just days after both South Korea and American officials said they would not negotiate an April agreement to resume U.S. beef imports into South Korea. Trade officials from both countries are in Washington today to do just that. The change of heart comes in reaction to massive protests in recent weeks. Tens of thousands of South Koreans taking to the streets. Thousands more protested today, all rallying against the possibility of American meat hitting their shelves. But their anger isn't just focused on the South Korean president for making the trade deal. It's directed at the United States, too. Joining us to explain why South Korea's got beef with the U.S. is Christine Ahn. She's a policy analyst for the Korea Policy Institute, which is an independent research institute focusing on U.S.-Korean relations. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Mike.
Is this really about beef?
Well, I do think it's about three issues. I think one is, yes, it is a policy issue, and beef regulations is about governmental regulations and policies, which should be democratically decided, and I think Koreans really feel like it should not be imposed upon by another country for a free trade agreement. I do agree with you. There is very strong anti-American sentiment, but I think the more correct way to describe it is anti-Bush sentiment. You know, South Korea, like other countries like England and other countries in Europe, have viewed, you know, President Bush more dangerous than Kim Jong-il. And in 2002, there was an incident where a U.S. military tank ran over two Korean schoolgirls, which sparked massive anti-American demonstrations because they felt that, you know, American troops have, in the past, you know, 50, 60 years since the U.S. has had troops in South Korea,
right,
have gone without any sort of, you know, accountability. And furthermore, South Korea and the U.S. have diverged on many issues, particularly on North Korea. But I think what the real issue that's driving a million people, you know, across broad sections of Korean society, and this is really a grassroots movement, is that, you know, it's about self-determination, and Korea has had a long history and a tradition of mass demonstrations and fighting for their independence.
And not a long history of the leader always being responsive to the people.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, South Koreans have overthrown three dictators in the past, you know, how many years, and they really, you know, now that they've had two decades of democracy, and, you know, this president has come into office, and you know, he sort of brings his style as the former CEO of Hyundai, and even the Economist describes his first 100 days as sort of imperial style of, you know, governance.
As a guy who's run not even what we would think of as a publicly traded company, what we think United States thinks of their CEOs, the chai bulls there, and they've weakened in power, but they're used to pretty, you know, what they say goes.
Right, pretty tough crack on labor rights and. And so, you know, I think that the Korean people are not willing to let this president just sort of, you know, set certain rules that will benefit the chaebols of South Korea off the backs of working people.
Christine, were you born there? Have you lived there?
I was born in South Korea in 1973, and I came here in 1976. So I feel mostly American, but it's obviously, like most American immigrants, you know, you obviously feel a strong tie to your homeland. But I think that, you know, the way that the South Koreans are being portrayed in mainstream media is that they are in some ways hysterical. You know, everybody says, well, U.S. beef is safe, and, you know, everybody is being quoted as saying that. But, you know, when you actually look behind that, I mean, over 200 million pounds of beef, U.S. beef is recalled annually. And I was speaking to Dr. Michael Greger yesterday, who is sort of Oprah's beef guy, when the beef industry went after her,
right?
You know, he was telling me that, you know, even this the largest single recall in history was just happened a few months ago. It was 176 million pounds of beef.
So the bottom line isn't really a debate about beef; it's a debate about letting the people there make their own decision. But in the time you live there, I'm sure you still have family there. Have you seen United States popularity wax and wane as being living in the U.S.? Is that seen by your South Korean friends or relatives as, you know, a good thing, or have they soured on the United States as of late?
Well, I think that, Mike.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that just, you know, I think South Koreans have obviously had a very strong relationship with the United States since the Korean War. But I think that certain policies that the United States has taken has really diverged from what the South Koreans want. And I do believe that they think that this deal is yet another example of their leader, and now it's not an authoritarian leader, well, although he may be acting like one, but a democratically elected one. And he's not being at all responsive to democratic processes, but instead just sort of stepping in line with what the United States wants. And this beef deal was clearly, you know, an example of that very case.
So are they, they're not, unlike many countries in Europe, which were upset about the United States war in Iraq, it's the relation with North Korea that upsets South Korea more. And I think people would be interested to know that it, the dynamic there is a little different. It's not like in Cuba, where Fidel Castro, by the, you know, Cuban-American community, just hated, or there's this longtime enemy. I got the sense when I lived there that South Koreans feel more sad about their status with North Korea and being a divided country than they have antagonism towards North Korea.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the sentiment towards reunification is very strong. I don't know if you read the New York Times piece a few years ago when the first pots that were made in Kaesong, which is in the free trade zone, hit the streets in Seoul. I mean, they were sold out in 19 minutes. You know, I mean, people really want to see the development of North Korea. They want people, you know, when they see images of starving children during the famine in the 1990s, you know, they were really pressing for a sunshine policy. And unfortunately, you know, we were very close to the United States sort of, you know, following suit. But as soon as the Bush administration came into power, you know, that pretty much went away. And, you know, South Koreans, I speak often with the aid community there, who is always trying to send aid to North Korea. And, you know, the United States has tried, the Bush administration has tried in so many ways to block South Korean humanitarian aid groups to send aid to North Korea. And, you know, it's quite shameful that the United States has been taking this policy. But
finally, I just want to ask you one last question, so we have a little time to get to it, which is, you said it's not a U.S. unpopularity problem as much as a George W. Bush unpopularity problem. Would any new president, if they say they're willing to at least rethink the tone of their policies, get a reset? Do you think Barack Obama will be more liked, automatically liked, than John McCain, or can this relationship be saved?
Oh, absolutely. I think that Barack Obama, with his internationalism and just by virtue of the fact that his father was Kenyan, and, you know, he obviously has a much more savvy perspective when it comes to, you know, global policy and foreign policy, I believe that the South Koreans would be much more delighted to see a president that is more about engagement and dialogue
and
than just about isolation.
And John McCain?
John McCain, I'm not sure, but his approach has seemingly very much in line with the Bush administration, which is a militaristic approach. And I think Koreans are tired. They don't want any more war, and they've seen the impacts of it. And even though it's not a hot war, the Cold War still lives on in South Korea.
Christine Ahn, policy analyst for the Korea Policy Institute. Thank you very much, Christine.
Thank you so much, Mike. Bye-bye.
Coming up, the Bonnaroo Music Festival on the Bryant Park Project from NPR.